Joan, welcome back. I'd like to begin today's program looking at this weekend, what's happening this weekend. Pope Benedict, this Sunday, visits the tomb of St. Pio in San Giovanni Rotondo, which is not far from the Adriatic coast in Italy's southern Puglia region. This very well-loved saint is known around the world as Padre Pio of Pietralcina.
And that's where he's from.
Exactly. And this program, of course, is being recorded ahead of the Pope's arrival in the town, where he'll be praying at Padre Pio's tomb in the grottos of the shrine and celebrating an outdoor mass before he visits patients at the Home of Relief from Suffering, which is one of the biggest and most respectable hospitals in southern Italy, which Padre Pio was able to build with the help of donations from around the world. So, Joan, Padre Pio was an extraordinary but very humble man, wasn't he?
Well, he was indeed, and, you know, it's funny, he died in 1968. I mean, most people felt he was a saint in his lifetime, and he wasn't beatified till 99, and then he was canonized in 2002 by John Paul II. But interestingly enough, I have not been, I must make this a little pilgrimage of my own, to San Giovanni Rotondo, and I had not realized that the names came from a local saint, John Giovanni, that the people admired, and the round church, the Rotondo, the round church that the people built to him. I hadn't known that. But back to Padre Pio, he is known for so many things. He has said to have had supernatural abilities, to have had the bilocation, that is, being in two places at the same time, which many of us, I know, would like to
be able to do that.
Of our lives. Right, exactly. That he could read souls. He had the gift of prophecy and discernment of spirits, lived on very little sleep and so forth. And we do know that he had the stigmata for 50 years, the five wounds of Christ, which caused him no little suffering and even really humiliation and embarrassment. But it is said that because of his huge holiness during life, of course, the devil tried to attack him constantly, and he would all of a sudden appear with, you know, bruises on his face or his arms, which came supposedly from the devil. But he when he became a priest, he went, a Capuchin, he went, was assigned to several different places, but when he got to San Giovanni Rotondo, he stayed there for the remaining 52 years of his life.
And from that little tiny Italian town, his fame and his renown really went all over the world. In fact, San Giovanni Rotondo every year draws more than 7 million pilgrims.
I read that, and that statistic really surprised me. It said it's second only to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So it kind of makes you go, okay, what do Lourdes and Fatima get, the ones that come to mind?
Sure.
Because being in Italy, we're even closer to them. But
I do hope you have
visit.
A chance to go there one day.
Oh, I mean, I will. You know, it's not that easy to get to from Rome. I mean, if one has a private car, it's easier, which I don't have. But if you're going on any other kind of transportation, you really have to plan on spending a night. You don't go down, spend a few hours, and come back. And I do understand there's a very beautiful new church there, which can seat something like 6,500 people inside, and there's a square or something for like 30,000 people outside. So
I'm sure they'll be filled this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Well,
absolutely.
We better also take a look quickly at some of the things that have taken place over this past week. Of course, Pope Benedict was mentioning towards the end of last week his forthcoming encyclical, Veritas in Caritate.
Right. It'd be the first one really social in the sense of dedicated to the economy, to labor, to those themes. The first one since John Paul's Centesimus Annus in 1991. In fact, the Pope's hint at what would be the content of this encyclical. Some say it's expected at the end of June, June 29th. Hopefully not, only because that day he gives the pallium to many priests. There will be many festivities in Rome. People will be paying more attention to that than they would to an encyclical. But I've heard one or two languages remain to be translated, so it may not be June 29th. As people say. But the Pope told members of the Centesimus Annus Pro Pontifice Foundation that he said the document will highlight what for us as Christians are the objectives that need to be pursued and what values need to be tirelessly promoted and defended in order to create a truly free and united form of human coexistence. And he said, really, it will be dedicated to the extensive issue of economy and labor. He said the financial crisis that has hit the most developed countries and the emerging economies, as well, of course, as the underdeveloped, in fact, even more so, as well as the underdeveloped countries, shows in an evident manner how much it is needed to rethink some of the economic financial paradigms that have been predominant in the last years. So my own personal feeling is that in listening to what Pope Benedict has said or written, and even his predecessor, John Paul, I think we're going to be looking at the suggestion that world economies look for a way. 1991, it was kind of like between communism, which was, you know, then dying. Communism and capitalism. Now, if anything, it's a form of socialism and capitalism. And I think that you're going to look at the Holy Father's message of trying to take the best of both systems and create a third one. That's just my guess on that. We'll see in a couple weeks.
Well, he also continued on this theme of the financial crisis, the economic problems, when he was looking ahead to a United Nations conference.
On Sunday, right, at
That's
the Angelus.
Right.
The 24th and 25th of June, the UN is having a conference. And it's on the economic and financial situation, of course, its impact on development around the world. And obviously, those who always suffer from anything, suffer more than anybody, are people, the poor and the underprivileged people in underdeveloped countries. But the Pope was talking about focusing on strategies to reduce world hunger. And he said, my hope is that the participants, of course, will be touched by a spirit of wisdom and human solidarity. And he noted the many, many places in the world, of course, that are touched so radically by hunger. And he said, you know, we just celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi, the bread of life. And he said, I want to make a special mention of the hundreds of millions of people who suffer hunger. Now, hundreds of millions, you know. This is, said Pope Benedict, absolutely unacceptable situation, which, despite the efforts of recent decades, fails to improve. And, you know, everybody listening to us knows it's not a question of not having enough food or there being too many people. There is enough food for everyone. It's a case of distribution. It's a case of hoarding. It's a case of certain very developed nations, my own country included, the United States, of just consuming far more per capita than per capita needs.
And really what's
sure,
necessary,
sure.
Of course.
Exactly.
Another big thing happening.
Well, another big event this week, yeah, the starting of the year for priests.
Exactly.
Friday, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the Pope had already announced this earlier, so several months ago, and he said this is the Sacred Heart of Jesus Friday, but it's also a day of priestly sanctification. And, of course, this year, and the beginning of this year will coincide with the 150th anniversary of the death of the curé d'Ars, Jean-Marie Vianney. And he said, the Pope said, I was very moved by this, given the scandals in a number of countries, and especially we know what's happened in Ireland. The Pope said he hoped the Jubilee will be an appropriate occasion to enhance the value and importance of the priestly mission and to ask the Lord to give his church many holy priests. And I think we should all adopt a priest in our prayers every day.
What a nice idea.
For this entire year. I've been thinking about that in recent days because I'm very moved by this. We work in the Vatican. We have contacts daily with so many priests and bishops and the Roman Curia. I know the seminarians and deacons at the North American College and pray for them every day. And I thought, wouldn't this be a great year for us just to adopt a priest in our prayers? What do they need more than anything else? They need our support. They need a smile. They need our help in church. They need economic help. They need a lot of things. But anybody who underestimates the power of prayer should try it.
That's a very nice idea. So another big thing that happened this week, and it's
news
for the American church.
And
the
for Dominicans.
A U.S. Dominican theologian was named Secretary of the Pontifical
Congregation.
The Congregation for Divine Worship.
Well, that's Father Augustine Di Noia, who's been the number three man, the undersecretary at the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He's been there since 2002, and he has been obviously very close to the Holy Father in the years that the Holy Father was Ratzinger and at the Congregation. So he will now become the number two man at the Congregation for Worship, and what is wonderful, he will become an archbishop. He replaces Archbishop Ranjith, who is from Sri Lanka, and the Pope named him as the new Archbishop of Colombo, Sri Lanka. But I want to call him Father Gus because when I first met him, that's what he said to call. And I said, you have such a beautiful name. And he said, yeah, but everybody calls me Gus. I said, all right. And of course, now with Archbishop before that, you find that very difficult to do. Maybe over dinner. Yes, right. Exactly. Maybe over dinner or something. But a very talented man, a very talented theologian. He taught theology for many, many years, but also is considered to to be an expert in, obviously, in liturgy. And he's at the Dominican House of Studies, taught there in Washington for many years. And he will be ordained July 11th at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington by, among those, I think the presiding celebrant will be Cardinal Levada, another American who is head, of course, of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. So our prayers are with you, dear friend. Congratulations.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Joan. We'll have to end it there. And also congratulations from us, all of us here at Vatican Radio, to the soon-to-be Archbishop.
Yeah.
And so thanks again, Joan, for being with us.
God bless.
Bye-bye. And thanks again there to Joan Lewis. She's the Rome Bureau Chief of EWTN and a longtime friend of ours here at Vatican Radio.